WQAYN Radio 97 in Portland. It's 10 o'clock.
CBS News. It appears that a terrorist bomb is responsible for a bus explosion that has left 12 people dead in England. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Near Batley, England, there was an explosion on a bus carrying British Army and Air Force personnel and their families home from a weekend outing. 12 people were killed. Police now say a bomb caused the explosion and suspicion is focused on Irish extremists. There were about 50 people on the bus, including women and children. The explosion was on a highway about 250 miles north of London. Energy Chief William Simon late Sunday night joined a meeting of federal and state officials in Washington to discuss the trucker strike. One official says they'll keep on talking as long as necessary to reach some accord on the problems facing the trucking industry. The problem of violence on the road goes on as some drivers try to keep their rigs rolling. Ohio Governor Gilligan Sunday activated 900 National Guardsmen to patrol the roads. More reports of shootings and rock throwings are coming in. On Interstate 94 in Michigan, a trucker en route to Kalamazoo was stopped by several men who asked him if he was going to keep on working during the strike. When they said yes, one of the men shot him in the shoulder. There have been some predictions that serious food shortages could occur around the nation this week because of the strike by truckers. Some food growers in Florida are getting worried about their produce reaching the market. Ike Siemens has a report from Florida City.
There are plenty of vegetables in South Florida right now, but unless the growers can get the produce to northern markets soon, much of it will die. Already, farmers here have seen a lot of fruit ripening and dying on the vine because of unseasonably warm weather. Now, the trucker's strike poses a new threat to growers like Rosario Scano of Florida City.
If the trucks don't roll in the next couple of days, and I don't mean a couple of days, maybe even sooner than that, there'll be a lot of red tomatoes on the vine because of the transportation problem.
What does this mean to the northern housewife?
Well, it means to the northern housewife much higher prices.
Even if the strike ends immediately, there will still be a shortage of many vegetables in northern stores for a while. And the longer the strike lasts, the greater the shortage will become and the higher the prices will go. Ike Siemens for CBS News, Florida City, Florida.
Several major oil companies last week announced more gasoline price increases in the area of around 3 and 4 cents a gallon. Now one of the top men in the Federal Energy Office hints gas stations may be granted a price increase. John Sawhill says that may be granted because of reduced sales volume. Sawhill talked about gas price hikes already granted.
We have already granted a 1 cent increase to retail gasoline and heating oil dealers to compensate them for the non-product cost increases, the increases in labor and rent that they've experienced since last May 15th. We expect to be meeting with a representative group of retailers next week to discuss with them their profit picture and whether we should grant additional price increases to them to compensate for the fact that they're selling lower volumes. You have to remember, however, that our job as policymakers is to balance off the interest of consumers who are resisting higher prices and the interest of the retailers.
Sawhill also says a lot of motorists are needlessly panicked buying gasoline. He repeated the administration's opposition to gasoline rationing. I'll have more news after this message.
Listen. Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. You feel it behind the eyes, under the cheekbones. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take Sinoff tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin. Plus a sinus drainer that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. Sinoff tablets. The sinus medicine. And Sinoff doesn't stop there. Have you tried Sinoff Sinus Spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It penetrates clogged nasal passages in seconds. That's something. That's Sinoff Sinus Spray. When sinus flares up, use Sinoff tablets and spray, only as directed. Sinoff, S-I-N-E-O-F-F, the sinus medicines in the bright red box.
Treasury Secretary George Shultz says he sees a drop in the rate of inflation this year. In 1973, that rate was about 9%. Shultz says he thinks in 74 the rate of inflation will fall below 5%. He says he foresees increased food production, a better position for the dollar overseas, and lower prices for imported raw materials. Shultz was interviewed by the Chicago Tribune. Congressman Wright Patman of Texas, the chairman of the House Banking Committee, says he thinks the nation is heading for a recession. Patman says President Nixon made a mistake in predicting there will not be a recession this year. Three commandos who hijacked a Greek freighter in Pakistan have now landed at Cairo Airport aboard a Pakistani plane. The three men released hostages they had been holding on the freighter, and then they were flown out of Pakistan. The three had been demanding that Greece release two Arab commandos who were under death sentence. The Greek government gave assurances the death sentences for the two would be commuted. Clay Whitehead, the director of the White House Office of Telecommunications, says he thinks the FCC has gone too far in extending government control over television programming and that some of this control should be rolled back. Whitehead also says he thinks the day will come when X-rated movies could be shown on cable television. He says, however, that should not happen until cable sets are equipped with a special key to block out such programs if the viewer does not want them in his home. Doug Poling, CBS News.
In Northwest News, two scores, Salt Lake City down to Portland Buckaroos 6-2, and the Blazers were down by Los Angeles 124-91.
This is Radio 97 News Headlines. A trucking spokesman says most independent drivers who bring produce to the Portland area will strike tomorrow. Three governors are expected to attend a conference on the energy shortage in Portland later this month. A group of Time Oil Company dealers are asking U.S. senators for a price rollback after a major price increase was announced. The sunny outlook forecast for Northwest farmers is being clouded by a number of shortages. Two of Oregon's more neglected natural resources are drawing renewed interest in light of the energy shortage. In weather news, overcast prevailed over much of Oregon again today, and as in the past 2 days, rain was confined to the northwest coastal areas. Some rainfall spread over much of the state tonight, followed by showery weather tomorrow. Portland-Vancouver vicinity weather, rain tonight, changing to showers tomorrow. Showers ending Monday night, lows tonight near 42 degrees, the low tomorrow night in the upper 30s, high tomorrow in the upper 40s. Currently 48 degrees downtown, George Good, KOINU.
In. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the sounds of suspense. Welcome to the world of your own terrifying imagination. So many catastrophic things happen in this world because a lady asks a gentleman a question and then refuses to accept his answer. For instance, the Lady Eve. What great harm could it do if I took just the tiniest bite of that apple? Or the lady named Pandora? Why would it be a calamity if I should sneak just a quick little peek into that box? Now add to the list a charming young lady named Millie. She also has a question.
Why can't I have the bracelet, Kevin?
It belongs to the temple.
Oh, nonsense. It's been lying here in the jungle for at least 1,000 years. Who'd miss it?
Its owner. The beast goddess.
Oh, come on, Kevin.
And you know what she does with people who steal her property. She turns them into animals.
Really?
Well, it's the local legend, Millie. Now, you just take that little bracelet off your arm and put it back exactly where you found it.
Sure.
Millie, I mean it.
Sure, Kevin. Sure.
Mystery drama, The Sign of the Beast, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Lois Smith. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Don't let anyone con you into thinking it's wrong to turn in a heroin pusher. You're not ratting. You're doing your part to wipe out one of the most insidious epidemics racking our country today. So don't let anyone kid you. If you really care about the quality of life, if you really care about improving society, you'll do everything you can to get the heroin pusher off the street and into jail where he belongs. If you have information about a drug pusher, use the heroin hotline. The number is 800-368-5363. That's toll-free from anywhere in the country. The number again is 800-368-5363. A trained operator will answer your call, take your information, and pass it on to experienced federal agents who will investigate. You'll make your own special contribution toward helping us wipe out what President Nixon has called public enemy number one. Call 800-368-5363.
This is Joan.
Webster's Dictionary defines mystery as anything strange and inexplicable, a puzzle. There's no mystery why more and more people are choosing to shop at Jansen Beach Center. 60 stores and services to choose from. A pleasant atmosphere with comfort-controlled enclosed malls. Friendly service and plenty of free parking. Don't puzzle about where to shop. Visit Jansen Beach Center soon. Interstate 5 at Jansen Beach.
I shot an arrow into the air. It fell not down, it stuck up there. Should I climb up? How I debated, and end up quite asphyxiated? Or shall I wait for a clearer day? Or will it ever clear away?
It's getting thicker, isn't it? You can act now to fight air pollution through your Respiratory Disease Association. It's a matter of life and breath.
What is the difference between man and beast? There are those who ask, is there a difference? It wasn't very long ago that man himself was a beast, a carnivorous hunter with an insatiable appetite for raw meat. True, quite a bit has happened since. We've learned manners. We've invented civilization and culture. We've created a conscience, a code of morals, a system of ethics. But how deep do all these things go? Does the beast still slumber in each of us, waiting patiently, biding its time, ready at any moment to assert its mastery with fang and claw? This is going to be a very vital question for the very pretty and vivacious young lady who at this moment is riding in a helicopter. The copter is hovering over a large clearing deep in a South American jungle.
Here you are, Millie.
Thanks a million, Larry.
It's a sure bet Kevin and Professor Jorgensen won't thank me.
Better lift up out of here before they make you take me back.
You know, Millie, I don't think I'm doing you a favor.
Just toss my duffel bag over the side?
What's more, it could cost me my job. Duffany's coming.
And leading the parade, the adorable Kevin himself.
Well, all ashore's going ashore. This ship's sailing right now.
Thanks again, Larry. And if I ever leave Kevin, I'll marry you.
Gee, and I thought you liked me. Now jump out fast.
And furthermore, you haven't even kissed me.
Look, I'm very angry about this, Millie.
You could still kiss me, Kevin.
You promised to stay at the base camp.
That was last week.
But we're moving into the jungle tomorrow.
Kevin, we've already been through all the arguments. Category A, danger from animals. Well, I brought the 405 Anson Carterets, and I'm a better shot than you are.
Now listen, Millie.
Category B. Danger from rare, unknown, mysterious, incurable tropic diseases. You have just as much chance of getting one as I do.
Dr. Jorgensen will be furious.
Your Dr. Jorgensen is my Uncle Bert. I can handle him.
It isn't a matter of handling
people. Well, it's true, you know. Millie can always handle me.
Uncle Bert, I love you.
I know, dear. And I love you, too.
See, Uncle Bert gave me a kiss.
He's glad to see me.
Dr. Jorgensen, we'll have to radio that idiot Larry.
I'm not going back, Kevin.
Sir, won't you make her see reason?
I warned you about this, Kevin. Last year, when you said to me, how about an introduction to that good-looking niece of yours, I told you the problems, but you would have her.
And I'm worth it.
Oh, Millie, it's only because I love you so much.
Uncle Bert, why don't we leave Achilles here to sulk in his tent while you show me around the camp?
There's somebody you should know, that tall, powerful-looking fellow. His name is Imara. He's our straw boss. Imara, whenever you want something done, you...
Yes, Dr. Jorgensen.
Imara, this is Kevin's wife. Her name is Millie.
How do you do, Imara?
It is an honor to meet you, Millie.
Imara's in charge of setting up, taking down, and moving the whole camp.
Ah, well, I can see he does a splendid job.
Oh, no. The fact is, he does a very bad job.
What? What did you say?
I said he does a poor and unsatisfactory job.
Uncle Bert.
No, it's the truth.
But everything looks to be so neat, so orderly.
Actually, Imara is unbelievably incompetent. He deserves to be fired.
I think that's unfair and heartless.
Excuse me, Millie. Imara, please go to Kevin's tent and bring Millie's .405 rifle.
Yes, Doctor. At once.
Uncle Bert.
No, before you say another word.
How could you be so heartless?
You must understand, Imara, his primitive superstitions, his beliefs.
But he's not some ignorant savage. You can tell by his speech. He's obviously educated. Must you insult him?
Millie, you simply cannot compliment these natives.
These natives? Oh, my, aren't we condescending. And why must we not compliment them? Will it spoil them as servants? Will it drive up the pay scale?
Oh, Millie, where to begin? In Imara's religion, he is surrounded by a host of jealous, angry, implacable gods and goddesses. They do not tolerate praise for human beings.
That's nonsense.
One man's nonsense is another man's devoutly held belief. You terrify Imara when you praise him. Therefore, on this expedition, never, never praise one of our natives.
But Uncle Bert...
Is that understood? Millie, we're not home now, where there's a charm in being quirky, kooky, offbeat... Just obey orders. Don't, under any circumstances, praise anybody. Understand?
Yes, Uncle Bert, I understand.
Things are bad enough. In the first place, you're a woman.
Well, I like that.
You need some prestige. That's why I sent him for the rifle. Hit some tin cans, break a few bottles at 300 yards, and you'll be one of the boys.
Uncle Bert, you actually are a male chauvinist. Who would have suspected it?
Well, I have to pack away my instruments. Can I trust you not to get into any trouble?
Implicitly.
Very bad shot, Millie.
And now, I'll break that bottle next to it.
Oh, that was terrible.
Not bad, if I do say so myself. And that's every bit of 250 yards. Now, you see those three cans you lined up on that rock? Watch.
You are a very poor shooter, Mary.
Got nothing. You should see me when I'm in practice. Oh, my. I didn't know we had children in the camp. Who's that youngster by the kitchen tent?
It is my little boy. He stays here with me till we leave the jungle.
What's his name?
His name is Aisara.
Aisara. Oh, what a lovely name.
No. No, it is an unpleasant name.
I should think you'd be proud.
Proud? Me proud? Why do you say I'm proud?
Oh, because he's such a handsome child.
No, he is plain, he is ugly.
He seems so intelligent. Notice how patiently he lines up those stones and shells.
No, you're stupid, I swear to you. He has no sense. He disgraces his mother and me.
But what are you saying, Imara?
This child is a fool. Anyone can see that. Now, I must go.
Where?
I must go clean the rifle. I must go.
Well, oh, what made him so upset? Oh, now I remember.
Amira, you may serve the coffee.
I know the cuisine has left something to be desired these past few days, Millie.
Oh, none of this bothers me. I can live on tea and toast, fruit and vegetables.
By tomorrow sometime, we'll come to the ancient temple, the Forbidden Grounds.
I have the cameras ready.
I must caution you, Millie. We were permitted to come here only because I promised the chief, who is my blood brother.
We do have a wild family, don't we?
That we will not defile the holy grounds. Now, all around you'll see scattered ornaments, bric-a-brac, all sorts of things. Touch nothing.
Uncle Bert, I hardly have to be told.
We can photograph anything, everything, but it all belongs to the goddess, the beast goddess.
It'd be dangerous to touch anything anyhow. You see, dear, the beast goddess is very possessive.
I don't know why I have to be treated like a child and indoctrinated with lessons in basic honesty. I've been on digs with you before.
You take anything that belongs to the beast goddess, and she'll transform you into a wild animal.
What's that, Uncle Bert? Those drums.
You get used to it. It's just the native telegraph service.
What are they saying?
Oh, I never learned to read them exactly. I can just get the general idea. I think it's news of death.
Death?
Yes, it's someone's death.
How can you tell?
Well, the basic rhythm speaks of death. And since it's a very light beat, it's probably, well, the death of a child.
Child.
Yes, I'm sure of it.
Millie, is something wrong?
Oh, I have a headache. I think I'd better turn in.
Amira, let's put the scaffold here. I want to climb this wall and study the inscription. Millie! Darling, you feel better?
Yes, I suppose so. I'll just have to live with this headache.
Come here a minute.
Okay.
I'm Mara.
Yes, Millie.
Your little boy, Isara, he's dead, isn't he?
Yes. How did you know?
I know. I'm sorry.
I thank you.
I mean, I hope you... You don't...
Yes, Millie.
I hope you don't think I'm responsible.
Why should I think that, Millie?
Because... I don't know. Yes, I do. It's because I praised him just a few days ago, and you seemed so upset about it.
I was upset?
Oh, yes, very much. And Dr. Jorgensen told me...
I know.
That
I know what he told you. But my little boy, died of fever. The way so many children here do. Suddenly, without warning.
Then you don't blame me.
I blame you? No. I am not a superstitious savage. We poor ignorant natives, we play this game with Dr. Jorgensen. And people like him about our gods and goddesses.
Oh, I felt terrible.
I was afraid you might.
You see, in our culture, we believe in praise, especially when it comes to children. We automatically say nice things about children.
I understand.
And then last night when I heard the drums, those...
You must not feel bad. And to prove that I tell the truth, I have a gift for you.
For me?
We have a custom. When we make someone feel bad, we must give that person a gift. And the person must accept.
Oh, that's such a lovely bracelet. Where did you get it?
Here.
Oh, but we're not supposed to...
There are thousands, thousands of pieces of ornament. Who would know? Place it on your wrist. Ah, see how pretty it looks.
Oh.
Wherever you look, thousands of beautiful things. This is the very last. Besides, it is the custom.
Well, if it's the custom...
And you must not tell Kevin or Dr. Jorgensen. Because, you see, you would have to explain why I gave it.
I understand.
And it would make them uncomfortable. Because everything they have come to believe about superstition would be wrong.
Millie!
What is it, Kevin?
Bring the camera. I want to shoot these inscriptions.
Thank you again, Amara. And it will be our secret. I'm coming, Kevin.
Yes. Go to him. Go to your husband, arrogant, heedless, ignorant woman. You have defied my gods and killed my son. Your punishment has been decreed. It has already begun.
Well, Aymara is obviously a man of parts, and he's already shown us quite a few of them so far. The punishment that has just begun will be expanded and continued when we return shortly with Act Two.
There's nothing wrong with drinking Budweiser sip by sip, is there? Well, the brewers of Budweiser think there's a better way. Sipping's fine if you're drinking wine. But Bud is the king of beers, a hearty drink. Look, rinse a 10 or 12 ounce glass with cold water. Then open a can or bottle of Bud and pour it right down the middle so it kicks up a good head of foam. Now, take a big drink and then swallow big. No sips. That's how it should be done. More taste, more beer drinking enjoyment. Thanks to exclusive Beechwood aging, Budweiser has a smoothness that lets it go down especially easy. Sure, it's an expensive way to brew beer, but brewing beer right does make a difference. That's why, when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
How to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau.
All right, let's see your license and registration.
But officer, I wasn't speeding. I can't go too fast with this snow on the ground.
It's your tires. They're not snow tires. A violation.
But they're radials. I thought radials were okay with snow tires. Now what am I going to do?
I'll tell you what to do.
Who are you?
I'm the man from your Better Business Bureau with this reminder. Not all states recognize radials as snow tires. And many states have outlawed studs on winter tires. You see, the law changes from state to state. So check your auto club, state highway department, or a tire dealer you can trust.
You there? Get that horse off the highway.
Yes, officer. I'm on my way to help other consumers with another tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Is it entirely valid to suggest that the best way to get a woman to do something is to order her not to do it? There seems to be some historical basis for it. Archaeologist Kevin has ordered his wife, Millie, not to touch any of the artifacts or ornaments found in his latest discovery. And now, he finds it impossible to take his eyes off her wrist.
Is this the section of the temple wall you want me to film, Kevin? Kevin? Kevin, what are you looking at?
What's that on your wrist?
Oh, well, it just...
Millie, Dr. Jorgensen told you, I told you, under no circumstances were you to touch anything.
Well,
Not only touched it, you're wearing it.
Look, the silly superstition.
Where did you get it?
Kevin, I don't like that tone of voice.
Hey, what are you two quarreling about?
Show him, Millie.
Oh.
Uncle Bert, listen.
I must ask you, Millie. Where did you get it?
I found it.
You found it here?
Well, around.
Millie, I can tell by the workmanship. It was made by an ancient priest of the temple. It has the same symbols.
What's all the fuss?
Millie, I thought we all understood.
Why can't I have the bracelet?
Because it belongs to the temple.
Nonsense. It's been lying around the jungle for at least 1,000 years. Who'd miss it?
Its owner, the beast goddess.
Kevin, are you serious? Go ahead, tell me the rest of it. Tell me she turns people who steal her property into animals. I can tell you that not even the natives believe that. Come on, fellas.
We're overlooking a point, Millie.
If it were made of gold or silver or precious stones, I could understand. But it's just a twisted piece of copper.
Well, for all I know, we're being watched. If so, you can expect a poisoned arrow through your throat any second.
You know, I listened to the two of you, and I...
Millie, your trouble is that you don't...
Now, let's not have an argument. I gave my word. That's all there is to it. Millie, you will take that bracelet off your wrist and put it back. Put it back exactly where you found it.
Sure.
I mean it, Millie.
Well, sure, Uncle Bert. Sure.
Here. These are the symbols the Incas used for weddings.
Well, could they have originated this far north and east, Dr. Jorgensen?
Millie... Photograph this section of the wall.
Yes. I need some more film. I'll be back in a second.
Well, you don't have to go. We'll send a mirror.
No, it's all right. I just want to stop off at the kitchen tent. I think I need a snack.
We just had breakfast.
I know, but I'm hungry.
Are you sure you feel all right, Millie?
Oh, I'm fine. Just a little hungry. That's all.
Millie, about yesterday.
What about yesterday?
The bracelet.
Oh, that. Forget it, Uncle Bert.
I know that you see so much just lying around. It seems silly to make a fuss over some trinket, but...
I'm willing to forget it, if you are. Hi, Mara.
Yes, Millie.
Where's the cook?
He will be back soon.
I was wondering if there's anything to eat.
What would you like?
Well, I'd like some meat.
I could cook a slice.
Oh, would you please, Amara, and hurry.
Will this be enough?
Just throw it on the fire.
Yes, Millie.
That's good. Oh, that smells good. Be careful, don't burn it.
I just put it...
No, you're burning it. Amara, that's good, it's good. Right now, just the way it is. I tell you, it's fine.
Yes, Millie. Let me get you a plate and a knife and a fork.
Oh, hurry.
Here you are, Millie.
I bow. Put up some more.
Kevin.
Now, what is it, Amara?
You asked me to prepare a list. Of supplies for the helicopter.
Ah, yes, good. Let me write it down.
First, we need fresh meat.
Okay, fresh meat. Wait a minute. Didn't Larry fly some up just a couple of days ago?
Yes, Kevin.
Well, we should have at least enough for the rest of the week.
The book says he has only enough for tonight's meal.
Oh, that's impossible.
Would you like to see Kevin?
I take your word for it. But is someone stealing meat?
I cannot say, Kevin.
Well, I know we eat a lot of it, but still, I... All right, put down meat. And this time, get plenty of it.
Is there any more meat, Amara?
I will go see.
Meat? How much is this with meat? You haven't eaten meat since I've known you.
Aren't you going to finish yours, Kevin?
Well, I've had enough.
Let me have your plate.
The air out here, I must agree with you, Millie.
I'm starved, Uncle Bert. I don't understand it.
You must be famished. Honey, you haven't had meat in so long, you've forgotten how to eat it. You have to chew it before you swallow.
Excuse me. Here are some tufts.
Those? Oh, take them back. They're too well done. I want some rare.
I'm sorry. This is all we have.
Tell him to put up some more.
There is no more meat.
Well, that's right. Larry's due in with supplies in the helicopter.
When will he be here?
Well, I don't know. Sometime today.
Why don't I take the 405 and shoot us a deer or something we can eat?
Millie, are you all right?
Of course I'm all right. Now, why do you ask?
Well, don't snap my head off.
Millie, you'd better get some rest here. You're tired.
I'm not tired. I'm hungry.
Millie, darling, something's wrong.
Why?
Well, because this isn't like you, that's all.
Kevin, I don't know. I have such a pain in my stomach.
What kind of pain?
Hunger. That's the only way I can describe it.
But you shouldn't be hungry.
I can't help it. I have this terrible craving for food. Oh, no, not for food. For meat. For red meat. Oh, Kevin. Uncle Bert, I'm frightened.
Take her to her tent. We'll give her a sedative.
Oh, yeah. Yes, maybe that'll be best. Maybe that pain will go away.
Yeah, come on, dear.
Oh, Kevin, you'll wake me when Larry gets here in the helicopter, will we, with the meat?
Sure.
Promise?
Yes, dear, I promise.
Is she asleep, Kevin?
Yes, finally. Dr. Jorgensen, what's wrong?
I don't know.
I've never seen her hysterical. Are you as worried as I am?
I'm worried enough to want to get her to Rio, to a hospital.
Let's radio Larry to get that damn helicopter here pronto.
I just spoke to Larry. We have a problem. It seems the helicopter needs some repairs.
What kind of repairs, for God's sake?
I don't know. It was technical. Larry's working on it.
Larry, he's an idiot. If he hadn't brought her here,
it's our fault, yours and mine. We let her stay.
What are we going to do?
You say she's asleep. Well, all she needs is rest. Maybe when she wakes up, she'll be better.
Kevin.
I'm here, dear. I'm here.
Oh, I was so sleepy.
I know.
It's dark out. What time is it?
Well, it's almost midnight.
You let me sleep. You didn't wake me.
I couldn't.
But Larry was here and he brought the meat.
No, dear. The helicopter's out of order.
Oh, Kevin, I am so hungry.
Well, I knew you'd be hungry when you woke up, so I'll make you an egg sandwich.
No, I want the meat.
But there isn't any.
There's plenty of meat.
Where, Millie?
All around you. Out there. There's deer. There's wild pig. Can't you smell it?
Oh, no, I... Millie...
Kenny had the 405. We'll be able to feast.
You can't go out in the jungle in the middle of the night.
Why not?
Oh, Millie...
Let me have the rifle, Kevin.
No, Millie, not now.
It's my rifle.
I know. In the morning.
You can't hunt in the morning. All the animals are asleep. You can only hunt at night.
Darling.
The time.
Now listen, here are some pills to calm you.
Kevin, something's wrong with me. I don't know what. I say things I don't understand. I have urges. Oh, I can't even describe. Hold my hand.
Yes, dear. What is it, darling? What is it?
Oh, my hand. My wrist is burning. Oh, it's on fire.
What's the matter, Mary?
Look at her wrist.
Oh, that's a very ugly-looking irritation. How'd you get it, Mary?
Oh, I don't remember. I don't know. Oh, Uncle Bert, I don't know anything.
I'm all right. Come in here. Now, Millie, you must try to be calm. Try, dear.
Yes, Uncle Bert, I'll try.
Now, tell me, how did you hurt your wrist?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Try to remember.
You probably have an infection, some kind of bruise.
I don't have an infection. I'm not sick. I'm hungry. Do you understand? I'm hungry.
You want me, Dr. Jorgensen? I'm all right. Bring the medical kit.
I'm hungry.
Well, the first thing we have to do is put a penicillin ointment on that bruise.
She's feverish, ravenous appetite for meat. Bruise on wrist. could be anything. She could have scraped it against a bramble, anything.
Or an insect. Dr. Jorgensen, we have to get her out of here. Now, radio Larry. Tell him it's an emergency. We have to do something.
Don't lose your head.
Listen. Millie?
Calvin, won't you get me something to eat?
Yes, yes, dear, I will.
I have the medicines, Dr. Jorgensen.
Calvin, you don't love me.
I think we'd better put her to sleep. Hold your arm still, Millie,
no.
Dear.
No, no, you want to stop me. I'm going to bleed.
Hold her arm, Kevin.
No, stop!
I'm all right. I want to ask you a question.
Yes, Dr. Jorgensen.
Have you ever seen anything like this?
Yes.
Where? When?
Once, it was a man. He had invaded these holy grounds. He had stolen a jewel from the beast goddess.
Yes? Go on.
He then became a beast. He disappeared into the jungle, and he was never seen again.
Thank you, Amar. You may leave. This kind of superstition we can do without.
Maybe. And don't bite my head off. Maybe there's something to it.
Something to what?
To what he's saying. Oh, I know, I know. Primitive superstition. But look at us. You and me. Between us, we carry a considerable supply of the knowledge of the civilized world. Between us, we have degrees in medicine, anthropology, chemistry, sociology. Can we explain it?
Are you saying the legend is true that Millie has offended the beast goddess and is being punished?
I don't know what I'm saying. But look at her. Look how troubled, how agitated she is. She's flushed, breathing rapidly. She could burst through that sedative any minute.
Kevin, I'm so hungry.
Try to rest, darling.
I'm ready to get on the radio.
The helicopter is out of order.
Past all that. I'm going to speak with the hospital in Rio. I'll describe her symptoms. They'll arrange to get her there.
My wrist. Oh, my wrist. Oh,
doctor.
It's burning. Oh,
look at her wrist. Look at her wrist. Something's on it. I have to design. It's the shape of that bracelet.
Kevin, it's your imagination.
Is it? Look. Do you see that symbol? It's on every ornament worn by the goddess. The design decorates her dress.
It's just a raw, ugly scar with some very wavy lines.
But it's her sign. The sign of the beast goddess. The sign of the beast.
It could be a coincidence.
Do you believe that?
I
tell me, do you believe it?
Kevin, I don't know what to believe.
Got a pretty good handful of advanced college degrees in that tent. Most of them in the sciences. And it's surprising how quickly knowledge abdicates in the face of the unknown terrors of the jungle. Can science be just a veneer also? I'll return shortly with Act 3.
And now another tale of the ball and chain. At Kellogg's Special K,
presents overweight on an overnight train.
Is the seat taken?
Please, sit down.
Thanks.
You have exceptional legs.
Oh.
But why is one of them attached to a ball and chain?
This ball and chain? It's a symbol.
Funny, I would have sworn it was a ball and chain.
I mean symbolic. Because carrying around a few extra pounds can be just like lugging around this ball and chain.
I see. May I suggest something?
Uh-huh.
Try a bowl of Special K skim milk, orange juice, and coffee. It's the Special K breakfast.
Will it make me lose weight?
No.
Oh.
You must also exercise and eat smart at every meal.
I see.
Do you know the Special K breakfast is less than 240 calories, 99% fat-free, and delicious?
No, but if you hum a few bars...
And that's another tale of the ball and chain.
Your happy ending could begin with the Kellogg's Special K breakfast.
That's Kellogg's Special K. Good night.
I found the work to be really challenging, and I enjoy it a lot.
If I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't be in it. People.
My orientation all my life has been, you know, to help.
I wouldn't have been in Red Cross if I didn't care, you know, about people.
People who care about other people.
It's an opportunity for me to help other people and to see my efforts and my skill pay off.
It's just a very rewarding feeling to think that some little thing you've done is going to help somebody else.
It's the joy you feel when you've helped someone.
People who help other people.
It's like anybody involved with Red Cross programs. They want to volunteer and they want to help.
They are just that type of person who will go out of their way to do anything for anybody at any time, and it carries over to the work they do for the Red Cross.
You know, it's like they're there when you need them.
The people who are the good neighbor, the American Red Cross.
I think that anything you know in this world, if you don't use it when it's needed, what good is it?
Hamlet said that there were more things under heaven and earth than were dreamed of in philosophy. Hamlet should be with us in a tent, deep in a South American jungle, amidst the ruins of an ancient temple, because there are more things than any of us can dream of.
Is she still asleep?
I think so.
She shouldn't be left alone.
I'll go back in the tent in a second. Dr. Jorgensen, I just had to find out. Were you able to radio the hospital?
Kevin, it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Well, what's the difference?
My contact there, the chief of medicine, he's due at 7.
Can't he be reached?
Kevin, he's returning from vacation. He's on the road. It's only 5 hours. Don't worry.
Poor Millie. You know, she really didn't mean any harm. And there are scads of this stuff lying around.
I know.
It's a pretty little thing. Who'd miss it? She didn't think it was stealing.
Kevin, don't talk as if...
As if what?
As if you believe this is the revenge of the beast goddess?
Can you rule it out?
Kevin!
If they can't send a copter for her, I'll carry her out of here on my back. Those damn drums, what are they saying?
Is it important?
I'm getting so jumpy. What are the drums saying?
Oh, nothing.
That isn't so, Dr. Jorgensen.
Why do you make an issue out of it?
Why do you refuse to tell me? Now, you can read those drums the way I can read a telegram. Now, what are you trying to keep from me?
It's just that I thought the agitated state you're in right now...
Well, don't make it worse. What are those drums saying?
Well, it has to do with revenge.
Revenge? What was that? Well, those are rifle shots.
Well, who'd be firing at this hour?
Come on. Millie! Millie! She's gone.
She's got a rifle.
Amira, wake everybody up. Rouse the camp. We have to find Millie.
Millie,
Millie,
Millie, Millie. Careful now. Watch every footstep.
It's a good thing there's a moon.
Millie, Millie, where are you?
Those shots came from just about here.
Why did she go out?
Oh, let's quit pretending. You know why she went out. To hunt.
At night? Why?
Because she's hungry.
Oh, Kevin.
When are we going to face it? Admit it.
Mary. Mary, can't you hear us?
But... Look.
Where?
Oh. Oh, no.
No, no. She can't be dead.
Mary. Mary.
She seems to be breathing. There's blood all over her.
But it isn't her blood. She must have shot this deer. Millie. Millie. Are you all right?
I feel so nice and warm.
The doctor yet?
Yes, Kevin. They're sending a copter. It'll be here late this afternoon or tomorrow morning.
Oh, that's great.
They're doing the best they can.
Oh, sure.
I'll be reasonable.
Reasonable, huh? My wife is being destroyed before my eyes.
It seems there is, or they think that this might be a very unusual disease.
Oh, come on.
It's an infection. She might have picked it up from the bracelet.
What are you talking about?
It could have scratched her when she put it on.
And?
Well, it's been lying here for hundreds of years. All kinds of parasites, microorganisms. Anyhow, it seems this disease creates enormous cravings for protein.
Then what does your man suggest?
Massive doses of penicillin.
Well, do we have enough?
I hope so. I'm Alma.
Yes, Dr. Jorgensen.
Bring me the medical chest.
Kevin. Kevin.
She's awake. I'm coming, dear.
Kevin.
No, Millie, now lie still. Don't get up.
Oh, I feel so comfy.
How's your wrist?
My wrist? Oh, it's okay. It only hurts when I feel hungry.
And you're not hungry now?
No. Oh, you know, I had such a crazy dream. I better not tell you.
You've got to. You've aroused my curiosity.
You won't believe it.
You try me.
Don't laugh. Promise.
I promise.
Well, I dreamed I went out into the jungle alone at night. There's a picture for you. Imagine me alone in the jungle at night. Anyway, I dreamed I shot this, I think it was an antelope. Something like that.
Yes.
And I was so hungry, I ate it right there.
What a dream.
You know, I felt so full just before, but just talking about food seems to give me an appetite.
How about some tea and toast?
Tea and toast? Ooh, how about a nice chop? Or steak? Rare, very rare.
Well, Larry's been unable to fly up the supplies.
Doesn't matter, I can go out and shoot.
Later, Millie, later. You're not hungry now, are you?
Oh, well, not very, but in a little while.
Okay, then just a little while. Huh? Promise.
Okay, I promise.
Where have you been, Doctor? I've been waiting in the tent.
Don't leave her alone again, Kevin.
Where's that penicillin?
That's just the problem.
What problem? Look, we just can't have any more problems.
We do. The penicillin is gone.
That's impossible.
All the bottles of penicillin solution, all the tablets, gone.
But how?
I don't know.
Are any other supplies missing?
No, everything's here.
Kevin!
You go to her quickly.
The penicillin.
Amara brought me the chest. The drug was missing.
We have spares in the supply depot.
I looked, gone from there, too.
Kevin! I'm hungry. Oh, Kevin, you don't know. My stomach hurts. And my heart is on fire.
Millie, everything is all right.
Sure, yes. Just let me take the 405 and shoot something.
No, Millie, no.
Kevin, I'm going.
Millie, try to get some rest.
I don't need rest. I need food. I need meat.
Please, Millie, fly back. Rest.
Take your hands off me.
Millie.
Let go of me.
Help me. Oh. Somebody give me a hand.
Wait, wait, wait. I'm all right. Get some rope.
Let go of me! Let go!
Where's that damn helicopter? He could never find us at night. He'll have to wait till morning.
I don't know if she can wait until morning. Listen, we don't have medicine. Let's try the other thing.
What other thing?
The legend. Maybe we can placate the goddess.
Kevin!
Is there anything else we can do? There's something happening here. The penicillin is gone. How do you account for it?
He may have forgotten to pack it.
Nonsense! Last night you said the drums were talking about revenge. Revenge for who? For what? And what are they saying tonight?
It's revenge.
Kevin! Come in here! I'm coming. I'm coming.
Kevin, I want the 405. Untie me.
No, Millie. Millie. What did you do with
it? Untie me.
What did you do with it? The bracelet. You didn't put it back, did you?
I'm hungry. I'll die, Kevin. I'll die.
I'll untie you. If you just tell me, where did you put the bracelet? I'll get you some meat.
Yes. Oh, Kevin, yes.
The bracelet. The bracelet.
Yes.
This is my pickup kit. Oh, no, in time he let me hunt.
Where did you find the bracelet?
You promised to untie me.
Where did you find the bracelet?
I must go hunting. Oh, Kevin.
Where did you find the bracelet, Millie?
I didn't find it.
Tell me the truth or I'll never untie
it. I didn't find it.
I'll leave you here to starve.
Amara.
What about Amara?
I promised him I wouldn't tell.
What about Amara?
He gave me the bracelet. Oh, Kevin, untie me. Please, untie me.
Amara, you will tell us where you hid that penicillin, or I'll blow your brains out.
You may kill me. That's not the way.
Let me beat it out of him.
For the past two nights, Amara, the drums have talked of revenge. Whose revenge? Mine.
Upon whom?
Millie.
For what reason?
She killed my only son.
How?
She made the gods jealous. She spoke of his beauty, his intelligence, his skills. The gods were angry.
Of course, but she didn't know any better.
It made no difference to my son. He died.
And your revenge?
I gave her a bracelet. I tricked her. I fooled her. I made her take it.
Where did you find the bracelet? So that we may return it with a suitable prayer and beg forgiveness from the goddess.
I will not say.
Stand aside, doctor. It's my turn.
You may kill me.
No, he won't kill you.
Who says I won't kill him?
Be quiet. No one will kill you. But I am a blood brother to your chief. I will tell him that you committed a sacrilege. I will tell him that you stole a bracelet from the goddess for an evil purpose. Now you may go, Amara.
What do you mean, he may go?
He'll be disgraced for life. His wife, his parents, his brothers and sisters, all will be driven from the village into the jungle. No one will speak to him. Why do you stay here, Amara? We have no further use for you. Oh, I believe we owe you a month's wages. Here, plus 2 weeks' notice.
The bracelet. It was taken. I took it from the arm of the statue of the goddess.
Now repeat this, Millie.
Why do I have to go through this mumbo-jumbo?
Oh, just do it, Millie. Now, place the bracelet on the wrist of the statue.
Ugly old girl, isn't she?
Millie.
Okay.
Now, say, forgive my sin.
What sin? Okay. Forgive my sin. What else?
That's all. That says it.
Well, that's a relief. I must have been a trial to you boys. What happened to me, anyhow? The way you were shooting penicillin into me.
How are you now, darling?
Okay, I guess. Oh, but I'm so hungry.
Hungry?
Starved.
For what? Meat?
Meat. Since when did I ever eat meat? Just point me at some tea and toast and salad and fruit. I might even have an egg.
It's always good not to put all your eggs in one basket. Always have another course of action in reserve. What cured Millie? The atonement before the goddess and the return of the bracelet? Or the penicillin? Or both? I'll be back shortly.
My brother Jake, he got a little headache. Who's dizzy and a bit mad, short of breath. He says to me,
oh, hypertension's got me, Bill. My blood pressure's high as a mule, been licking the still.
I said to Jake, only your doctor can tell.
Only my doctor can tell.
Only your doctor can tell for sure if you got high blood pressure or not.
See your doctor and make sure. That's the good health advice your Heart Association is giving you. It's one of the benefits we get when we give to the Heart Fund. And just to make sure you get the message, here it is one more time.
Only your doctor can tell.
Only my doctor can tell.
Only your doctor can tell for sure. If you need that heart, put your hand up.
And don't forget, folks, give to your Heart Fund.
The sign of the beast. It can appear anywhere, anytime, and in anyone. And the trouble is, in our world today, it appears much too often. Our cast included Lois Smith, Paul McGrath, Tom Keener, and Dan Ocko. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Richard? Richard, are you awake?
Huh?
It's her. It's April. Oh, my God. Stay away. Stay away. Richard, wake up.
What?
Help me.
What's happening? Jenny, what is it?
Hear
what? There's nothing.
But there was...
You look as though you'd seen a ghost.
Not seen. I heard. It was her. April, your wife.
Be quiet. You're my wife. April is dead.
But she still doesn't want me here. Nobody does.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
KOIN, Radio 97 in Portland. The KOIN weatherman calling for rain tonight, changing to showers tomorrow. Showers should end Monday night. Mostly cloudy Tuesday with lows tonight near 42, the low tomorrow night in the upper 30s. High tomorrow in the upper 40s, expecting southerly winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. And there's a 100% chance of rain tonight and tomorrow, decreasing to 70% chance of rain tomorrow night. Currently in Portland, it's 45 degrees. A couple of extra sports scores for you. Los Angeles Lakers blasted Portland tonight, 124 to 91. Salt Lake downed Portland Buckaroos, 6 to 2. It's now 11 o'clock. This is KOIN in Portland.
News. A meeting among groups of independent truckers and state and federal officials ended this morning in Washington without agreement. They were trying to end truckers' shutdowns that have swept more than 25 states. This is Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Federal Energy Director William Simon participated in the meeting, and he issued a statement after the meeting ended. Connie Chung has a report.
Simon said he is personally opposed to rolling back prices of diesel and gas fuel. The main demand is striking truckers. Although Simon said he is not ruling out the possibility of a rollback, it's his opinion that such a move would be counterproductive to the country's intermediate and long-term goal, that is, self-sufficiency. Simon also said a pass-through system, which would allow higher prices to eventually reach the consumer, is the only equitable way to handle the problem. After After more than 3 hours of talks with the truckers, which went into early morning hours, Simon said negotiations will continue Monday morning. He said problem areas were defined tonight, and he's optimistic that, quote, reasonable men are going to get together on this issue. Connie Chung, CBS News, Washington.
The independent truckers have threatened to continue their shutdowns unless a price rollback is ordered. As the truckers' strike continued, there were scattered incidents of violence reported in 10 states. Sunday night in Michigan, a truck driver not observing the shutdown was shot in the shoulder after being forced off the road by striking truckers. Another driver was reported slightly wounded when a bullet was fired into his moving truck near Louisville, Kentucky. The New York Times reports that a mandatory gasoline rationing plan is scheduled to go into effect Monday in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Elizabeth is a city that's virtually surrounded by oil refineries. The plan calls for gas stations to sell to vehicles with even-numbered license plates on even-numbered days and odd-numbered plates on odd-numbered days. The only other mandatory gas ration plan that's now in effect is in Hawaii. A voluntary ration plan exists in Oregon. Police in the northern English town of Batley say that 12 people were killed when a bomb blew up in a bus in which they were riding. The dead were part of a group of soldiers and their wives and children returning to a military base after a weekend in Manchester. Police suspect the bomb was planted by Irish extremists. The police were concerned that bombs might be planted on three other buses carrying troops. They searched those buses but found no explosives. There's been an appeal for peace from one of Northern Ireland's militant groups, and David Capper reports from Belfast.
A powerful Protestant paramilitary group, the Ulster Volunteer Force, has made a dramatic appeal for peace. The group, known as the UVF, has been outlawed for some years and is believed to have been behind many attacks on Catholics. The UVF says it originally turned to violence to frustrate and destroy the Irish Republican Army, but it now finds that the political situation here has become so bad that it, too, must turn to politics to try to find a solution. The movement is now calling on Protestants and Catholics to unite to build a new society. But its policies, as outlined in an article published in a Belfast newspaper, are not expected to gain much support amongst Catholics. This is David Capper for CBS News in Belfast.
Three gunmen who hijacked a Greek freighter in Karachi, Pakistan, have now been flown out of Pakistan, and one report says that the plane has landed in Cairo. Before the gunmen gave up the freighter in Karachi, they released hostages they had been holding. The three ended their siege after receiving assurances from the Greek government that it would commute the death sentences of two Palestinian prisoners. In Singapore, officials are still trying to find a country which will accept four gunmen who have demanded safe passage out of the country. The gunmen have been holding several hostages on board a ferry boat since Thursday. More in a minute.
This is Andy Musser, CBS Sports. Every weekday on Game Plan, I examine the big upcoming sports events, get the locker room wisdom, talk to the players, coaches, and broadcasters, and try to figure out what the results will be. We look ahead and consider the big games on the immediate schedule. It's pregame analysis, taking everything into consideration that may affect the outcome. Hope you'll match your forecast with mine on Game Plan every Monday through Friday here on the CBS Radio Network, where the listeners are.
When you take a medicine, you should follow label directions. But some people have excuses.
Ooh, who can read labels in the middle of the night?
A tablespoon's gotta work faster than a teaspoon.
Mommy,
I can't waste time. Jimmy's crying.
Sorry, there is no excuse. The label tells you what it's for, how much to take, and when to take it. Read the label directions. Medicines can't help you if you don't take them right. From the Council on Family Health, a service of the manufacturers of medicines.
Republican Senator Barry Goldwater says that he has suggested to President Nixon that Mr. Nixon listen more to Republican members of Congress. Goldwater says in an interview in U.S. News and World Report that he told the president, quote, "You never call us until you get your tail in a crack, and then you won't listen to us." In the interview, Goldwater says he thinks the leading contender for the Republican presidential nomination in 1976 is California Governor Ronald Reagan. Goldwater puts former New York Governor Nelson Rockefeller second, followed by Presidential Assistant John Conley and Vice President Ford fourth. President Nixon returned to the White House last night after a weekend with his family at Camp David. Mr. Nixon is scheduled to meet on Monday with Soviet Foreign Minister Gromyko. Secretary of State Kissinger is expected to sit in on that meeting. Soviet-American relations are expected to be discussed, as well as other international issues, including the Mideast. Ann Crosman, CBS News.